This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another great hour of Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and has implemented really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering the Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash, dash.org. Well, welcome back to Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck. As most of you know, we do a show every single day of the week called Good Morning Liberty. Charlie and I do. We've been doing that show for a few years now. And one thing that we like to do is talk about some of the dumbest stuff that we have seen over the last week. And I would like to right now present to you some of the dumbest things that we saw over the last week. Have fun. Enjoy. Let's get into it.
From Jeffrey Levin?
Yeah, he's like one of those left-wing influencers on Twitter.
So he tweets a picture of a t-shirt and says, "Just who are the real child killers?" And the t-shirt says, "Planned Parenthood isn't killing children. You're thinking of the NRA."
Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're thinking, which one of these? Now, I know that in the Libertarian Party, libertarians are kind of split on abortion. But let's
pretty
just
much right down the middle. It's like 50-50.
Let's just pretend like we weren't talking about the legality of abortion, but the actual act itself and whether or not it literally kills a child. Because that's kind of the point. If you don't have the abortion, there's going to be a child. And so you have the abortion, there's no child, therefore the abortion killed the child.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the whole point of the abortion.
That's why you get it, because you don't want the child.
That's why you did it.
Yeah.
So
one of the reasonings they put down is, like, I can't afford a child. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not in the right place of life to have a child. Or, like, this isn't something, this is going to turn into a child and I don't want it.
I don't want that.
Yeah. So I need you to get rid of it.
And so if you were to compare and ask the question, like Jeff asked here, just who are the real child killers? It's not the people that are literally killing children and, like, that's their business and that's what they do, you know. Like, you go there and they get paid to kill a child. It's not them. It's an organization that advocates for weak gun rights. Like, well, let's just be honest, the NRA. That's who's killing children. They don't even literally kill children like Planned Parenthood does.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually do. The NRA just kind of advocates for semi-decent gun rights sometimes.
It's not like the NRA has clinics around the nation.
No, you don't go to an NRA clinic and they shoot your kid. But you go to Planned Parenthood and they literally kill a child.
Chemically.
So.
With forceps. Oh, yeah.
Is that dumb?
That's pretty dumb.
This is interesting. Max Miller from Ohio. This is an elected representative person here talking to Lizzie Marbach or Marbach. I don't know how you say it. Who is Lizzie? Does anyone know who this Lizzie Marbach person is?
Hmm.
Let's look her up and figure out who she is. I knew I should have looked at this beforehand. So she says, Charlie, actually, you read it, Charlie, and tell me what you think about it.
Lizzie Marbach said, "There's no hope for any of us outside of having faith in Jesus Christ alone." To which Max Miller of Ohio quote X's this and says, "This is one of the most bigoted tweets I have ever seen. Delete it, Lizzie. Religious freedom in the United States applies to every religion. You have gone too far."
This is a Republican congressman.
Look at him being all manly.
Yeah.
Saying, "Delete it, Lizzie. She can't be her own person."
She also can't be a Christian.
Mm-mm.
Because this is just her being a Christian and like going by what the Bible kind of says. And there could be different readings or whatever, but she's saying that there's no hope outside of having faith in Jesus Christ. That's a basic religious perspective for someone who's a Christian. Okay? And apparently, having that view makes you a bigot.
Mm.
Because you see, other people have different religions, and if you... We have religious freedom in the United States, which means you also have to view all of the different religions equally as well. You just happen to pick your own personal preference.
That's the problem. She didn't list out the others. That's the
problem. She didn't. And she didn't say that all the other ones are also just as valid as mine.
Right.
Which would negate the religion in itself in the first place.
Or she should have never posted it, obviously, because he says delete it.
Yeah.
So... Religious freedom means you can't talk about religion at all.
No.
Because you might offend someone. That's what that means.
It's a great idea.
All right. This guy read the Constitution.
Well, it's not even that. He doesn't even understand like what it means to be religious. I hate to tell you this, but there are different religions out there, and a lot of those different religions think that the other religions are incorrect. That's why they chose the one that they chose, and that's why they're that religion. You know? It doesn't mean that you have to say... Oh, yeah, also, you are going to have great everlasting eternal life if you practice this religion, too, and this religion, too. I just happen to think Jesus is the Son of God, but, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
I mean...
That's not what being religious means most of the time.
As far as bigoted tweets go, I mean, one of the most bigoted ones.
It's very bigoted towards other religions, I guess. Mm. Okay. Let's do a Bidenomics section, right quick. President Biden.
The greatest economy in the history of mankind.
Everyone knows that. We already know that. President Biden said, "I've kept my commitment that no one making less than $400,000 a year will pay a single penny more in federal taxes." Okay. Is that technically true, Charlie?
I mean, depends on how you calculate taxes.
Well, if you look at federal taxes themselves, and I guess technically the rate hasn't gone up. He hasn't raised the federal tax rate for people making less than $400,000, but we do have another thing that costs people money.
Inflation?
Inflation.
That's what I'm saying. Depends on how you count taxes.
See, that's what they get to do. They get to create the inflation and then claim that they haven't raised any taxes. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's why most economists consider inflation a hidden tax.
And then he adds on another one. "And unlike the last president, in my first 2 years in office, we cut the federal deficit by $1.7 trillion.
When it was the highest it's ever been.
When we had just had a $2.2 trillion emergency COVID relief act that went through.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the $2.2 trillion emergency COVID relief act. He had a $1.9 trillion one. And then he had the Inflation Reduction Act later after that. But anyway, he cut the deficit. Trump's deficit from the CARES Act that Democrats definitely would not have had, you know, it's Trump that wanted to rescue people during the pandemic. If it would have been Democrats in office, they would have said, "Screw you people, you're going to work and we're not giving you any money."
And they would have balanced the budget.
This pretending like he's some kind of budget hawk is hilarious. And by the way, this is only the case because they didn't sign the Build Back Better plan that he wanted. If they would have done that, then he wouldn't be bragging about the federal deficit going down.
He would have increased it by $200 billion.
It would have gone up. Okay, we're still in Bidenomics right now for number three. You guys like how it says the dumb bleep of the week number on the bottom of the screen right now?
I'm so proud of you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Just want you to know.
Robert Reich III says, "In the year since the Inflation Reduction Act passed..." I want to go back to some of our episodes during the time that they were passing this and talk about how we knew that when inflation went down, because it was at a peak at that time anyway. It had already come down before they passed it. The peak was the month before. We talked about how, of course, they were going to say it was because of the Inflation Reduction Act, which no one predicted, including like the Congressional Budget Office, anyone who looked at it, none of them predicted that it was going to reduce inflation at all. Mm. But anyway,
I noticed Robert Reich isn't verified anymore. He doesn't want to pay the $8 a month.
He doesn't have the money for it. In the year since the Inflation Reduction Act passed, inflation has dropped from 9% to 3.2%. 170,000 clean energy jobs have been announced. Well, that's great. I bet the people whose jobs are going to be there a year from now are rolling in it right now. Economic growth has accelerated. Consumer from nothing. Consumer spending is solid. Real wages have finally risen for 1 month. They were down all the other ones, just so you know. I wanted to bring some charts and graphs to show you. Inflation dropped from 9% to 3.2%, and that's because they passed this bill that spent a bunch of money, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be because of the federal funds rate, which went from nothing to just over 5% in a very quick amount of time, like a year. It went up from nothing to 5%. And when, by the way, when they passed that bill, I'm circling the area right here, this is when the Inflation Reduction Act was passed, and it's also when the Federal Reserve raised their rate all the way up to, it's the effective rate right now is 5.12, just so you know. And that was from 0.08, which is essentially zero.
Yes.
Okay, the other thing.
Now, what does the Fed, the federal funds effective rate do?
That makes interest rates higher across the board. It makes it harder to borrow money, essentially.
And the Fed funds rate is typically banks borrowing from each other and transferring money back and forth. Mm. So when that's higher, obviously, then the banks have to charge everyone else a higher amount of money in interest, which is why you saw, there's not a direct correlation, but there is a semi-correlation. That's why you saw all the interest rates for homes going up in the same time frame. Well, look at that.
Yeah.
March, April, May, June, July. Now what? It's 6.5-7%?
7-8% most of the time.
For a home loan now?
Yeah, and that's for like really good credit.
Yeah.
I happen to know people with perfect credit, with amazing income, that still got, I think, 7.25.
It's rough.
Yeah. That's a lot. It's a lot of interest. I can't imagine having bad credit and trying to get something right now.
Actually, with the bad credit, you get better interest.
It might do better.
You know?
We'll get some subsidies, stuff like that. Yeah, it'd be pretty good. Yeah, but one of the reasons they have to do that, by the way, is because this also causes the interest rate on bonds to go up. And one of the reasons the interest rates on bonds go up is because the government needs people to let it borrow some money. And so they'll offer to give you an interest rate on the money that you let them borrow. Well, so that's one place that a bank can put money. Where's another place a bank can put money? Well, they can put money in your house. They can give the money to you, and they can make an interest rate on that over time. Well, that ends up being more than what the actual bond rate is, because the bonds, like federal bonds, treasury bonds, are very safe, like about the safest, most guaranteed thing so far
for now
that you can do. And so when that's sitting at 4.5 for a 10-year bond right now, you could do that. Or you could give people a home loan, a mortgage, but you're going to have to make more than you're going to on the bond, on the treasury bond, because that's like guaranteed home mortgage. You know, something could happen, whatever. It's not as guaranteed. So that's why it's like 7% instead. Anyway, that's why inflation went down.
It's a little riskier. Mm-hmm. So you want to get more bang for your buck.
Yes. Okay, he said real wages have finally risen. What he means is this is what real wages actually look like. Now, this is real wages indexed to March of 2020. So essentially, March of 2020 is our equilibrium. That's the point right there that we're measuring off of. They spiked up after COVID, real wages did. You know, people got money. There was no inflation yet at that time. There was actually some deflation at that time. And then your real wages went down and down and down because of inflation. And then last month, they went up just a little bit. Okay. And so Robert Reich, this professional economist.
Professor.
Professor at what, like Harvard or something?
I don't know.
One of those places.
Makes that like $500,000 a year for talking 2 hours a year.
Probably. This professional economist who cares about the working man more than freaking Oliver Anthony does, okay, wants to make it a point to you that real wages have finally risen. But this is what they actually look like over time. And that's not good. But he doesn't actually care about that. He cares about shilling for the Democratic Party. And that's all he does. Freaking Robert Wright.
It's hard to tell, but it did go way up.
Just a little bit, yeah. Didn't you feel it, though? Man. Finally, you felt that bump right there,
man. I can afford my groceries now.
Yes.
You know, when I go to the grocery store, that's affordable. That's why Oliver is an idiot for writing that song.
I know. Well, it was just too late. He's probably been working on it for a while back when the economy was rough. But now that it's so good, you know.
He's probably going to release an apology video, I bet, because he's like, oh, Bidenomics, yeah. I forgot. Mm-hmm. You know, we just needed to give it time to work.
Ninanomics. This is different from Bidenomics. It's way dumber. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, sometimes we're faced with a crossroads in life, and we don't really know which path to take. Maybe you're thinking about a career change or feeling like your relationship needs a little help. Whatever it is, therapy can help you map out your future and trust yourself to find the way forward. I've done therapy in the past, and honestly, it helped me quite a bit. I've told you guys that. And our co-host, Charlie, is still using BetterHelp. He loves it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. All right. Nina says record profits. All right. Now, she's got a few here. She says record profits are stolen wages. All right. So if you look right now, you got companies that have record profits, like the dollar amount is higher, and that means it's stolen wages, okay? All of that money should have just gone to the workers, okay? Not the people who, you know, take all that risk and keep this company going. And so I just responded with, this is just a quick one, I responded with, look at this shirt! Record taxes are stolen wages. Look at this freaking tax receipts from the government. That's a record tax receipt, if I ever saw it. Why isn't that stolen wages? Why is the one
when they actually steal it?
It's like, it's literally the one where there's, you know, they'll put you in prison, you know, they could kill you if they come to get you and you refuse to
and
go
on
there.
Your paycheck, it literally tells you like, hey, you earned $1,000. And then you'll notice the next line down is federal taxes. They took $100 or $150 out. And then you'll have Medicare and Social Security, all this money that they take out of your check. And then you get a net pay after
post-theft.
Post-theft, yeah, that you have no control over.
So anyway, that's the actual stolen wages, not the ones that she's talking about. But let's move on to some other dumb things she said. Here's a good one. She says, Charlie.
I saw this. Nina says, it's always, quote, pay your debts until the topic of reparations comes up. Because as white people, we have a debt from our ancestors.
That we signed up for. You shouldn't have signed up for it if you weren't going to pay for it, Charlie.
I know, that we refused to pay. Yeah.
That was irresponsible of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, pay your debts. You know what else is funny is with her, it's the exact opposite. It's always, you don't have to pay your debts. That's someone else's job. Until the topic of reparations comes up. That's the only thing that she thinks you should pay for. Yeah. You don't actually owe anything except for reparations.
And weirdly enough, she would benefit from it.
It is odd. She happens to be black.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with her thinking that the only thing you're responsible for paying for are reparations. Everything else is someone else's fault. You shouldn't actually owe.
I didn't think of it that way. It's so funny.
There we go. This is her responding to us, by the way, but she blocked out our name.
She did.
Yeah. She says, good morning. Healthcare should be free. Good morning, Liberty says, good morning. Healthcare should be done by the free market. And she says, reminder, healthcare will never have a free market because the demand is driven by the alternative being death. Cancer patients can't just decide to not seek treatment without it being harmful to their life. That's an argument that you could make about food, if you wanted to.
They make it about housing, shelter.
They make it about that, too, or they make it about health care, whatever it is. Listen, we will all die if we don't have food.
Actually, here's the thing. We actually all die.
We do all die. You're right.
Despite whatever treatment we get, with every life, there is death. We haven't solved that problem yet and probably never will.
Uh-uh.
Because, you know, just happens to be part of the cycle. The thing about this is that if there was a true free market in healthcare, cancer patients would actually probably be able to afford their treatment much more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Than they would in the current system we have now, which there's only like four pharmaceutical companies left, in large part due to a racket with the mob, with
yeah.
the government,
yeah.
the FDA, and people like that.
By the
way,
think
cancer patients should get affordable treatment, and they would be much more affordable if there was a true free market in healthcare, because there's an incentive in the free market to actually help people. Because the more people you can actually help, the more money you can actually make.
Mm-hmm.
And as Thomas Sowell talks about in Basic Economics, profit's not a bad thing. It's actually the best thing that can happen.
I also happen to know someone who works for a cancer research hospital.
Just a random person.
A random person.
Yeah.
No clue. But I was told, I heard a story. And the story was they created this revolutionary new treatment that had a really good, effective rate of actually getting rid of your cancer. It takes a lot of time, but it has a really good effectiveness rate. Now, it costs the company about $250,000 to administer this treatment to someone. All right? And so that's what they're going to have to charge.
At least.
At least that, if they're just going to break even on it. Now, they went to Medicare, and Medicare decided that they were going to pay them $50,000. For it. And, of course, you have to accept Medicare patients. And it had a higher rate in more elderly populations as well. And they shuttered the treatment, and they don't do it because they would go out of business eventually.
So it doesn't exist.
So it just doesn't exist.
That treatment isn't on the shelf.
So that treatment is very cheap right now. You don't have to pay anything for it
because it
no longer exists. All right.
And look, they're saving healthcare. Mm-hmm. They're saving people's lives.
yeah. And also, I do want to point out, when the alternative to something is death, I think that means it has value, in my opinion. If saving your life is not worth any money, Charlie, what does that say about you?
What is your life worth?
It's got to be worth something.
How much would you spend for your life?
All right. Coming back, we're going to go through some more dumb things on Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network.
Free Talk Live.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. A federal judge in Texas took up a lawsuit Tuesday over the so-called floating border wall. Critics say the string of buoys meant to discourage illegal immigration is nothing more than a political stunt. Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar thinks Texas will be forced to take the buoys down.
It's a federal responsibility. The Supreme Court has already said when they took up the case in Arizona that it's a federal responsibility.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott has said he's willing to fight the issue all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And at least one child is dead after a a school bus crash in Ohio Tuesday morning. Ohio State Patrol Sergeant Tyler Ross detailed the accident.
There was 52 total kids on the school bus, 53 including the school bus driver. Of those, 13 were transported by EMS to local area hospitals for treatment. 10 were transported by personal means or family members to local area hospitals for treatment.
The Ohio State Patrol said it happened just outside Columbus. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Well, what's up, This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network. We've been going through some of these dumb things, which we do a lot, pretty often, on our podcast, Good Morning Liberty. By the way, 9 out of 10 experts agree that just 45 minutes of Good Morning Liberty per day will greatly lower your chances of dying in an authoritarian genocide. So you want to keep that in mind and go to BernieLies.com. But we talk a lot about taxation because we believe that taxation is theft. Do you agree or disagree? Send us an email, nate@goodmorningliberty.us. Okay, just real fast, Mehdi Hasan, remember him? MSNBC,
yes.
Crazy. This person posted about how the Inflation Reduction Act is bringing IRS customer service hold times down to 4 minutes. Okay. It used to be at 29 minutes, now it's down to 4. They hired 4,000 customer service representatives at the IRS. And Mehdi Hasan says, imagine if ordinary Americans actually knew this. This is information that Joe Biden needs to be getting out there. That when you are trying to contact the mob to figure out how much money you owe them so you don't go to prison, that they have used your money to hire 4,000 new mobsters to bring your wait time from 29 minutes to find out how much theft you owe down to 4 minutes. So now you know exactly how much money they have stolen from you so they don't put you in prison or kill you.
In a less amount of time.
Yes. No. Thank you, Joe Biden. All right.
There's nothing to say. The Debt Collective tweets a picture of Forbes' billionaires list, and they say, this is our money. They are thieves.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, look, they show their wealth, and it's increased from 2020. Now, that's weird.
What month do you think it is in 2020?
March.
Definitely March.
From March of 2020, when the stock market took a big old dip.
Yeah. March 18th, dip. The bottom of the stock market.
A dip.
Yeah.
So, Jeff Bezos, number one. Is he number one? I think this is might be a little older.
It could be a little old.
Yeah.
No, he's not. There's no way he's number one right now. Unless they're showing. No, he's not above Elon Musk.
I think Bernard Arnault.
He's number one.
Yeah, took the top spot. Anyway, you got Jeff, Elon, Bernard.
You're telling me that these people complaining about theft can't even get the most updated list of theft?
They can't.
They're so lazy.
Yeah. Plus, he only has Tesla and SpaceX there. We obviously know he owns X now.
I know. Well, there's an X on there. Maybe that covers it these days.
I don't know. Anyway, of course, the billionaires, it's your money, and these people stole it.
How did they get that money, though?
Yeah, it's not like a bunch of girls buy Louis Vuitton purses or anything from Bernard.
Well, it's not that.
Yeah, they don't even like those purses.
People don't even like computers that use Microsoft at all. I bet hardly anyone buys Tesla electric cars, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like SpaceX carries 80% of mass to orbit for the world or anything like that. And it's kind of weird. I've never used Amazon. Have you used Amazon to buy anything before?
No. Okay. Not even during the pandemic.
But that's all of our money. And then on top of that, we know that all of that, almost all of it, is from stocks. It's not from profits that have been taken from the workers or from the people. It's literally, it's not even our money. It's like your parents' money because they invested their money in a 401k or retirement account. And that goes into the stock market, and then they make a return on it. And these people just happen to be owners, a large part of some of those companies that do well. That's how they get almost all of the money that's listed next to them, is people freely give it to them over to their company so they can make more money in return.
It's literally stock valuation.
And we're supposed to demonize them for that. This is your brain on socialism, freaking idiots. And this came from the live group. Thanks for posting this. Tax havens could cost countries $4.7 trillion over the next decade. Advocacy group warns.
Could cost them.
The UK continues to lead the so-called axis of tax avoidance. You see, in our day, we had the axis of evil. You know, and that's why we had the bomb on all those countries. But this is the axis of tax avoidance, which drains an estimated $151 billion from global coffers through corporate profit shifting, a new report found.
So when you want to keep more of your own money, you are stealing from the coffers of the government who owns that money.
It costs the people who were going to steal it, but you kept them from stealing it. Other people wanted to forcefully take your money and use it for random things. But you found a way to not let them do that, which cost those people money.
Yeah. And now they have to hire more people to go find it.
We should. Yeah, we should hire more people.
Yeah.
It's efficient. Remember the Rachel Maddow video that we played earlier in the week where she's talking to Hillary Clinton? Let's play that one right quick.
That the system of democracy at its heart is the idea that the people get to decide how we are governed. And if we no longer believe that our will is effectuated through the system, if bad actors tell us falsely that every election is stolen and that the only way an election is trustworthy is if they come out on top of it, then something it tells you something not just about that person or that moment. It maybe wounds us as a democracy in a way that is hard to repair. What do you think about how we get better after the wounds that have been inflicted on us through this process?
Well, I think
the wounds that she's talking about are when people lose an election and then say that the election was stolen from them afterwards, which creates a distrust in the system. And so Rachel Maddow, super concerned about accepting the results of elections, is talking to Hillary Clinton, who's also been a strong advocate of accepting results from elections.
Yeah. We'll still show up to do a concession speech.
Yeah.
You know.
She didn't even concede. Like, she was in a room. Do you think she was crying or that she had tried to murder her assistants that night and they were having to restrain her?
Both.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. Yeah,
I think it was probably.
Remember, we were too afraid to break a glass ceiling. You know,
That's true. You get glass all over you.
We weren't ready for a female president.
Okay, the next one. Jeremy Kaufman posted this one.
You missed
one.
The best part where Hillary Clinton says we have to tell the truth.
What'd she say? What do you remember from that?
That
basically. She said we had to tell the truth.
Yeah.
The truth matters.
The truth matters, mm-hmm. Yeah.
To Hillary Clinton.
To her, yes. She's all about the truth.
I think this could be gaslighting. I'm not really sure.
She's a truth teller.
Meet M. Kaleo Manuel, the official who refused to release water in Maui, contributing to up to 106 deaths, a lot more. A Hawaiian studies major, Kaleo prefers a traditional, holistic one-water approach where water is revered, not used, and water requires true conversations about equity. This is a Zoom meeting of him talking about water. Let me find that video. Now, this is before the fire.
The commission is responsible per our authorizing statute to protect and manage all water resources in the state. One water is like looking at it from a holistic system perspective. And that's not any different than how Hawaiians traditionally manage water. You know, in essence, we treated Native Hawaiians treated water as one of the earthly manifestations of a god in Akua, Kane. And so that reverence for a resource and that reciprocity in relationship was something that was really, really important to our worldview and well-being, right? And living in an island and isolated from other, you know, civilizations. And so I think where it shifted to today or over time is that we've become used to looking at water as like something which we use. And not necessarily something that we revere as that thing that gives us life, right? I mean, to me, it's a shift in value set. And, you know, if we can start to really look at how we as humans in an island can reconnect to that traditional value set. So really, my motto is always like, let water connect us and not divide us. Like, we can share it, but it requires true conversations about equity.
What do you say?
I'm not real sure. One thing I was thinking about during this, we'll get into the story about what happened.
That's just like a bunch of words.
Yeah, it's a lot of words.
Yeah. And the reciprocity, mm-hmm. equity. He made sure to use all these big buzzwords. I don't think he knows what half of them mean.
Take like a holistic approach
to
how you're going to manage water. He talks about all these, you know, Native Hawaiians looking, use these, you know, Hawaiian words to talk about how they look at what. There's a weird thing where if it were like a Christian talking about how like, oh, you know, in God and like a verse in Genesis, it says like water is life and stuff. And we should do, they'd be like, oh, these Christian nationalists, you know, managing the water supply out there in Utah have caused the deaths of a bunch of people. But when,
because they turned it into wine,
if it were like Native Americans or Native Hawaiians or something, like, oh, look at how they look at water from the earth and like the gods and the, you know, the way that you should appreciate that. There's just this weird appreciation for anything that's not like a dominant thing. You know what I mean?
Anything
like,
that's not Christian.
Anything Christian
is associated with far right extremism.
That's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is, now, we don't know if this actually contributed to a lot of deaths or how much it hurt, but there was a letter sent the day after describing the events and communication problems that resulted in a delay in diverting streams to fill reservoirs made available to firefighters. CWRM operates within the state of Hawaii's Department of Land and Natural Resources. This document calls on Manuel to suspend all standard procedures and regulations in case of similar emergencies so that help can be provided immediately. This is West Maui Land Company, manages three of West Maui's water providers. As the fire was ravaging the island, the company said firefighters used what water they had in the reservoirs and tanks, so they asked CWRM to divert water from streams to enable them to store as much water as possible for fire control. But instead of approving the request, the commission, according to the letter sent by the company, asked them if the fire department requested permission to dip into the reservoirs and told them to inquire with a local farmer first to check how a diversion of the water supply would affect him. They said the communications were spotty. They couldn't get a hold of the farmer. And then essentially I read a timeline of it. It was 9 a.m. when they asked for water to be diverted to fill the reservoir so they could keep fighting the fire. And it was 6 p.m. before they actually approved the request. They spent the day trying to get a hold of the farmer. By the time the request was approved, the actual siphoning system to pull the water had already been burned up, and so they couldn't transfer the water anymore after that.
Climate change.
Climate change. That's what I said.
But you could sum all of that up. Sum all of that up with two words. Climate change. Because you said a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That just could be easily summarized.
But we need to have true conversations around water equity. And so the question is,
climate change stole all the water.
Was this water equally distributed? And I think it was. And they used up their water. Okay. They should have done better, I guess. It's equal.
Yeah.
You know, equality, man.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, sometimes we're faced with a crossroads in life, and we don't really know which path to take. Maybe you're thinking about a career change or feeling like your relationship needs a little help. Whatever it is, therapy can help you map out your future and trust yourself to find the way forward. I've done therapy in the past, and honestly, it helped me quite a bit. I've told you guys that. And our co-host, Charlie, still using BetterHelp. He loves it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. And then we just talked about this. So a couple oldies but goodies here from the week. Remember that thing, Taking Apart the Richmond, North of Richmond song? Which I told you I listened to that song this morning.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I like the first part of it. It's pretty good. Like the first, I don't really like this song. I think the chorus is good. A lot of the words, it's not even that I don't like the style. It's actually that I don't agree with a lot of the premise of the song.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I guess.
I like the whole dollar ain't part.
Yeah, that's the chorus is good. No, the chorus is good. I agree.
Because the rich men, north of Richmond.
I gotcha.
And that's actually where the anger should be directed at. Like, people are actually stealing your money.
Mm-hmm. There's just a thing where he said, talks about protecting minors, which, of course, so you can make a joke about minors, you know, like I'm on an island somewhere. But we don't need the politicians to even protect minors, which is what he's asking for in the song. We need them to not forcefully shut down the mines. You know, that's one thing, like, to force us away from those things.
And to stop the regulations,
but
to allow competition, which raises wages.
But eventually jobs go away, and there's a lot of people, for instance, that want to block like self-driving truck technology because that's going to harm trucking jobs.
10 million trucking jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people who made horse carriages went out of business, you know? A lot of people who went around lighting lamps in the streets went out of business. You know?
Scooping up poo.
So, yeah, the pooper scoopers were way down. And so those things happened, and he strikes me as the kind of guy.
There's still a few people trying to keep that business going. Yeah. Yeah. See him in Nashville and everything trying to get people to ride their horse and buggies.
He just strikes me as the kind of guy who has a more protectionist approach and would not be in favor of, say, progress on, like, actual technological competitive progress.
Well, he sees how the government is helping the other people and would rather the government help the working class.
Have you ever tried the rhyme, we need a unilateral removal of politicians meddling with the mining industry? No, and I get it. It doesn't fit as well into a song.
Yeah.
And politicians looking out for miners could mean stop screwing with the miners. You know, that's kind of looking out for them, I guess.
Stop shutting them down.
It's when you can say, like, leave them alone or something. But, like, protecting them or looking out for them kind of sounds like you want to make sure they don't lose their jobs, even if there's something that's better than what they have. And I could be totally wrong. But I'm probably not.
I mean, I think the fact that he called out the Richmond north of Richmond, Washington, D.C., is what he's talking about. I think that's the most important part. That's actually funneling the target in the right direction. it should be targeted at Washington, D.C., because we should be doing what Javier is doing in Argentina.
That dude's good.
Yeah, and letting them know that, I mean, in the video you sent me this morning, he talked about how we could separate North and South Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And let the politicians take the North side, and all the producers will take the South, and that they'll crumble quickly in the North because they don't produce anything. They just take, right? And that's what people in D.C. do. They don't produce anything. They just take. That's all they do. And they're just suckling at your production teat. All right. And I say we remove the teat.
No, there's like, he has this Javier Milei.
Milei, yeah.
He has a very heavy Ayn Rand, even Ron Paul. He definitely has that going on. And I realized last night that the libertarianism and the growth of it and the new libertarian leader or whatever doesn't necessarily have to come from America. You know? That's... He's saying
Liberty worldwide.
This guy, the couple clips I've seen from that dude, he's saying better things than almost any of the libertarian leaders or people I see in America. Like, I can't understand what he's saying, and that sucks. I almost think that we should create like a Javier translation channel where like we repeat the things that he's saying, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just translate it into
English.
Yeah.
And you just listen to us if you want to hear. You don't got to read that stuff.
Yeah.
Because what if the government didn't teach you to read? It's a thing. Could be from Baltimore, for all we know. But anyway, it doesn't have to come from America. It can come from Argentina. They learn from a lot of people who came from America, sure. But they might learn better than the people in America. I don't know. Because they need it more. It's real.
And they're hurting, and so they're more willing to stick their neck out because what do they have to lose? Right?
Yeah.
At this point. What is there to lose?
Yeah.
You know, most Argentinians are pretty poor. So what is there to lose besides speak the truth? Truth is power.
I did say yesterday in the podcast it'd be devastating for Argentina. Yes, if they are, I will preface. I said that with no knowledge of the current state of Argentina. Okay. Just off the top of my head, because I worry about what would happen in the U.S. if we went from what we have right now directly to... I don't know, Ron Paul immediately. Actually, maybe someone more harsh than Ron Paul would even be. If Argentina's already in a state of crisis, then I guess it's a good time to do it. You know, might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Make hay while the sun's haying. But yeah, I do worry about the transition period, and I worry about whether or not the CIA would even let that happen. Honestly. Doesn't mean you shouldn't try it. I hope
that you're saying he's going to be a martyr.
I hope that it means the people are actually ready for it, like truly ready for it, and that they're not just mad at some people, and this guy's pointing out some people that they're mad at, but they don't actually have that baseline principled libertarian view, because if things don't go perfectly immediately, the people will flip on him. Immediately, because they're not actually basing it on principle. They're basing it on the fact that they're mad at someone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone else gets them to be more mad at something else or say that he's screwed up and they don't have a basis of libertarian philosophy or whatever, it won't last. Oh, but it has a strong foundation if that's what happens.
And what's dumb about this, dumb bleep number 10.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, is the fact that they're saying that this, of course, is a right-wing... you know, wet dream song. every
right wing wet dreams.
Every right wing wet dream is made of.
It was this line right here that we really took issue with. I think it was yesterday when we were talking about this. They know that vague displeasure with the rich, disconnected from any discussion of where power lies. And who benefits from its distribution doesn't produce change. It just produces disgruntlement. What they're pointing out is that you can be mad at rich people north of Richmond in the government, but you're not mad at the right rich people. You're not mad at where the actual power lies, which is not with the people who...
Which we saw in Dumbly number 6, the billionaire thieves.
Yes, those people are who you should be mad at. The people who freely take your money voluntarily... give you value in exchange for it, or you don't have to give it to them, and they'll take your money and give you returns on your money so you have more money afterwards. That's where the true power lies. Where power does not lie are the people who can kill you if you don't do what they tell you to do. It's not those people.
Can't be.
And hopefully you can sense the sarcasm in our voices. So what do you listeners think about this Richmond north of Richmond? Is it hitting home for you? Is my critique completely off base? Probably. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like that style of music. That's another thing you need to let us know about. Just send me an email. Send me some hate mail, whatever you want to do, nate@goodmorningliberty.us. That's .us, not .com. So coming up, you know, we were just talking about how corporations have some power, the government has some power. Which one actually has more power over you? Is it the government or the corporation? We happen to believe it's the government because the government has the monopoly over the use of force, the use of violence to enforce the things that they want. Now, sometimes the corporations will use the government to control people. That's not okay. Doesn't make the corporation still good. But, of course, they're using the government's power to do those things. So coming up, we're going to talk about, yes, the situation in Hawaii one more time, but we're going to take a deep dive into what happened. It's speculated that it was sparks from power lines from Hawaii Electric that actually caused this fire. And I did a little bit of digging. It turns out some people have been warning that this was a possibility. In fact, they had fires in 2018 on Maui, and people were warning that this was a possibility. Who was it that was warning this was a possibility? It was Hawaii Electric. It turns out that they're essentially a government-enforced state monopoly over power. And with that comes some hand tying and some strings attached. And they weren't able to do what they needed to do. Let's talk about it.
On Free Talk Live.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.